Father, we thank you that you're our good, good Father. And Lord, where we have yet to really understand the fullness of that, and Lord, your deep love toward us, I pray, Father, today you would keep showing and unraveling and revealing yourself, that we would know, Father, that we are truly your beloved. And Lord, every girl in this room, Father, every girl, Father, may she know she is deeply loved by you, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you to our worship team. Can we give them a huge hand? They're amazing. Well, girls, here I go. I have a few moments to bring the word of the Lord to us this morning. But I wanted to start by saying this. Where are all the girls last night you waved at us who have never been to the Colour Sisterhood Colour Conference before? Wave at me. Wave at me. All the girls, look at you all. Okay, where's all the girls that have been here before? Okay, good, good, good. I just want to start my message. This isn't to do with my message, but I must say this. For everybody who is new on the page, just so you know what you are a part of, okay? Is that okay? I'm going to tell you five things, and you can continue to shout me down just like you did with Pastor John Gray. Come on, girls. You can get up on your feet, but I'm going to tell us what we are a part of. What is the sisterhood movement all about? Are you ready? The number one thing this sisterhood movement is all about, we are an army of girls who are passionate about Jesus Christ. That is what we are about. Number two thing that we are about is we believe that when we gather, we gain strength. So that is why we gather. That is why in your local contexts of your local churches, you probably have many sisterhood mornings or moments. We gather because we gain strength. The third thing that we are all about is we believe in placing value upon every single girl. That is why when you're in the foyers today, you'll probably see a whole lot of people massaging and boys walking you in and everybody cheering you on, because we want to place value upon every single one of you. We want to place value upon every single one of you. The number four thing that we are all about is we are all about drawing out the potential that is inside of you. Look me in the eyes. Every single one of you in this room is full of God-given potential. And we believe that at the Colour Sisterhood, we're all about drawing out your potential. And the number five thing that we are about is we are absolutely committed to making the world a better place and making the name of Jesus famous. So come on, that is what you are a part of. And I want to encourage you, Pastor Bobby's Sisterhood book, it is in the expo. It is an explanation and a heartfelt book that explains the journey of the Colour Sisterhood over the last 21 years. And so I just wanted to bring that to us this morning, just as a reminder to go and purchase that book, to know what you are a part of. Because if this is your first time, you must know what you are a part of, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this sisterhood here, I've called my message today, it's a movement. Everybody say it's a movement. It's a movement. We are part of a movement. What is a movement? What is a movement? Well, a movement is something that is moving. Put that in your notes. A movement is something that is moving. A movement is something that is taking ground. A movement is something that is advancing. And a movement is something that has always got a tactical, strategic shift. And do you know, girls, there is a tactical, strategic shift happening at this Colour Conference, because God is shifting things in the heavenlies. God is shifting things in this room. God is shifting, tactical, shifting things in our hearts and in our minds. And do you know what? He is doing that because he is not just raising up a group of nice girls. He is raising up a movement of women who are advancing, come on, who are taking ground, who are taking ground off the enemy. And he has always got a tactical, strategic shift. And that is what we're part of. And so I want to say to us today, four things, girls, four things that we need to do from today, from today until we regather again and we gain strength again next year at our Colour Conference. Four things that I want to commission you to go and do. Are you ready? The number one thing I want to encourage us to do until we gather again is, number one, I want us to choose closeness. Thank you. Choose closeness. Do you know, I've been married for 24 years this November. 24 years, I know, it's a miracle. 24 years this November. And just the other Friday evening, my husband and I found ourselves out to dinner. We're at a restaurant and we're sitting at this beautiful bench overlooking the beach. And we looked at each other and we were on our own. And I have three children. I have a 17-year-old daughter. I have a 14, almost 15-year-old daughter. And I have a 12, almost 13-year-old son. And we're sitting at dinner on our own and we looked at each other. And we said, oh, this is our future. Do we like each other? No, we didn't say that. We love each other most of the time. But we looked at each other and I realized there was a tactical, strategic shift happening, and this was going to be our future. And do you know what? I thought to myself, over the next 24 years, we've done 24 years, over the next 24 years, what must we do? What must we do in our marriage? We must choose closeness. We must choose closeness. See, closeness doesn't fall out of its lap into your life. I believe we have to choose closeness. And just as I have to choose closeness with my husband, we actually have to choose closeness with our Savior in heaven. We have to make a decision. I'm going to live close to him. And there's a scripture in Psalm 141, and it says this, "But my eyes are fixed." Everybody say fixed. "But my eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares that they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety." It says, "But my eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord." Do you know the word "fix" there? It means this: our eyes are towards Jesus. Our thoughts are towards Jesus. And our face is heading in his direction. Our eyes are towards Jesus. Our thoughts are towards Jesus. And our face is focused in his direction. And girls, I just want to encourage you with every bit of my heart. Over the next 12 months, can you make this concerted effort that you will fix your eyes upon Jesus, that you will fix your thoughts upon Jesus, and that your face will be set in his direction? And that is a choice to choose closeness. And you know, I like to go to the gym. I probably don't go often enough, but I do like to go. And often when I go, they put out those Bosu balls, you know, the half balls. Have you ever seen them, half balls? And they put them down and then they say, what you need to do is you need to stand on it. And so I was like, yeah, I've got this. That's easy. I'll stand on that. And then I found myself, I stood on it. And he said, now what you need to do is you need to, like, to stand on it like this is quite easy. But then he says, you need to lift your leg, one leg in the air. And then you need to balance. And so I found myself doing this. And I lifted my leg. But as I started to look at the girl that I train with, I'm looking at her, and then I'm looking around at the people in the gym wondering who's watching me look ridiculous, and then I'm lifting my leg, and as long as I'm looking around at everything else, I actually can't focus on what it is that I'm meant to be doing. Because as I lift my leg, do you know what happens? It gives you core strength. The strength on the inside starts to come. But while I was looking around at everything else, I was like losing my balance. But then he said this, what you need to do, girls, you need to find a spot on the wall and you need to focus on it. And so I did it again, and I found a spot on the wall. And then I stood on the Bosu ball. And then I lifted my leg as I looked at the point on the wall, and it was a lot more like this. Yeah. realized if I fix my eyes on something, I can actually become stronger. But if I'm looking around at everything else, I lose my way, I lose my balance, I lose what I'm doing. And do you know what, girls? I want to say this. It's the same in our walk with Jesus. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, when everything's going wrong and we fix our eyes on Jesus and we put our face towards Him and we keep our thoughts upon Him, as we keep our thoughts upon Him, do you know what? It's amazing. You can continue on. You can continue on. You can continue on. You can, and girls, I want to say to us over the next 12 months, till we gather again, can we please choose closeness? Choose to draw close to Him. Choose to fix our eyes upon Him. And as we fix our eyes upon Him, we stay strong through the course of time. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says this. Do you see what this means? All those pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down. Start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. But keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race that we are in. Study how He did it. Because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross and shame and whatever. And now He's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility He plowed through. And that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Come on. What do we need to do for the next 12 months? We need to choose closeness. And even now, like it's so easy, like how I do it in my own life is it says, draw near to me. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And I still my heart and I can be anywhere, anywhere, literally anywhere. And I just stop and I draw near. And I choose closeness and I regroup. And do you know, girls, we've got to be a sisterhood that knows how to choose closeness and keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Amen. Number two thing that I believe we need to do in the next 12 months until we regroup. Number two is we need to choose trust. Everybody say choose trust. Choose trust. You know, late last year, October, November, December, I've lived here for 9 years. It's been amazing 9 years. I feel like with all of my heart I have come to the promised land. Don't let anyone tell you that Africa is in trouble. Don't let anybody tell you that there is no opportunity in Africa. Don't let anybody tell you that there's better opportunities in another part of the world. I am telling you, this is the day for Africa, and the Lord is shining upon Africa, and the Lord loves Africa, and the Lord is going to sweep the continent of Africa from Cape Town to Cairo. And people like Reinhard Bonnke, they have led the way. But I'm telling you, it is the latter rain, it is the latter days, and God is about to outpour on this continent like never before. If you believe it, shout amen. Because the good news is that the government doesn't rest on the government's shoulders. The government rests on His shoulders. And He is the King of Kings. And He is the Lord of Lords. That is worth getting excited about. But you know, girls, I've lived here for 9 years and I feel like I've come to the promised land. I have. But you know what? In 9 years, I've been good. I've been strong. I haven't really known what I'm doing. And in actual fact, when we started church, we looked at each other and giggled. And we said, just act confident. We're like, what do we do next? Well, just act confident. God honors that. But do you know, in October and November, something happened, and I don't know what happened. I feel like I had a little bit of a meltdown, and I feel like I lost my way for a minute, and I felt like I came under attack, you know? And I actually felt like it wasn't just a health challenge and different things. It was more than that. I felt like the enemy was really trying to take me out. And I really had to regroup. And I felt like the Lord asked me, he said, do you believe everything you're preaching to everyone? And I said, that's a very good question. And he said, because you need to start not preaching it. You need to start believing it. And it's a year for me for greater revelation and greater insight and greater depth of what I say, I believe, I really, really believe. And so in October, I was sharing with a friend some of the things I was facing, and she sent me a scripture, and it's become a revelation to me, and I want it to become a revelation to all of us today. And it's in Romans, and it says this. You ready for this? It's really amazing. Everybody sniff. It says Abraham, it's about Abraham. Pastor Bobby spoke about Abraham. Abraham, he didn't focus on his own impotence or his own dysfunction and say it's hopeless. Come on, girls, listen to this. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautious, skeptical questions. But he plunged into the promise and he came up strong. He plunged into the promise and he came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good of what he said. That's why it is said that Abraham was declared fit before God. By trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe, everyone say believe, the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God and set us right with him. Do you know, I read this scripture. And then I reread it, and then I reread it, and then the Lord started to speak to me from it. And he said, Abraham did not focus on his own impotence or his own dysfunction or his own hopeless situation, but rather he did not survey Sarah's decades, everyone say decades, of infertility, not minutes of infertility, not days of infertility, decades. It says Abraham didn't focus on his own dysfunction and he didn't fix his eyes on his own impossible situation. But what did it do? What did he do? It says this, he plunged into the promise and he came up strong. So what must we do in the next 12 months? What must we do? Plunge into the promise and then you're going to come up strong. So in October, November, December, when I was just having a moment, what did I do like never before? I plunged into the promise and I came up strong. And girls, that is what we're going to commit to. We're going to plunge into the promise and we're going to come up strong. And then what are we going to do? We're going to plunge into the promise and we're going to come up strong. Say it with me. We're going to plunge into the promise and we're going to come up strong. And then we're going to plunge into the promise. And then we're going to come up strong. Because there's only one way to be strong. Do you know that? There's only one way to be strong. You're not going to have John Gray tomorrow morning singing, Amazing Grace. You're not going to have Pastor Bobby speaking her poetic words across your life every day. But you do have God's word. And do you know what? The only way to be strong is to plunge into the promise and then you come up strong. And so, girls, we're going to do that for the next 12 months. We're going to plunge in, we're going to find the truth, and we're going to come up strong. And we've been singing a song at the moment in our church called Heart Like Heaven. And in the song, there's a line that I love. It's my line, and it says, we take our weakness and we throw it into his greatness. We take our weakness and we throw it into his greatness. Could you just get your weakness in your hands? Just hold your weakness all across the room. Just get your little bit of weakness. Mine's more like this. Let's get our weakness. Come on, everybody. Let's get our weakness and let's throw it into his greatness. So when you're in a challenge and you feel weak, what are you going to do? Throw it into his greatness. And that's what I did this morning when I stood there and I was like, okay, I can't believe I have to get up after John Gray. What is happening to me right now? This is a dream and I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it's all going to be over. What did I do? I got my weakness, Lord. My weakness, my weakness. And what do? I throw it into his greatness. And as I throw it into his greatness, I'm going to come up strong. And so, girls, this year we get our weakness, we throw it into his greatness because we choose trust. We plunge into the promise, we come up strong. We get our weakness, we throw it into his greatness. And then you know what it does? It gives us hope. And hope is an anchor for our soul, sure and steadfast, taking us into the most inner place, the place where Jesus lives. It says it takes you into the inner sanctuary. What is the inner sanctuary? It's not like a spiritual term, although it is. It actually means it takes you right where the Lord Jesus is. When you have hope, hope is an anchor. And when you go through a storm or a challenge, like I did, you know what? It's like a boat. A boat on a stormy sea. The boat is going to come up on the screen, and it's an imagery of our lives. That's not a boat. Look at that. You know what? Look at that image for a moment, because when you face an unexpected challenge, like Abraham faced, his own impotence, his own hopeless situation, decades of infertility, although God had given him a promise, he plunged in, he came up strong, he grabbed hope. And hope was the thing that anchored him. So when the storms and the challenges come, he was able to stay strong through the course of time because the anchor of his soul was in the promise, and the promise is Jesus. And if you have that as an anchor for your soul, you are going to win and come up strong every time in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. So we are going to choose closeness and we are going to choose trust. And the third thing we are going to choose, girls, is this. We're going to choose maturity. Everybody say maturity. You know, look at this scripture with me in Hebrews 6, 1 to 3 in the Message. In the Message version, it says this. Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. It says, so come on. Let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust toward God. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. God helping us. We'll stay true to all of that. But there's so much more. So let's get on with it. Do you know, girls, I believe in the next 12 months that God is challenging our hearts to go to a new level of maturity. I know he's challenging my own heart, and I know he's asking me, he's working in my heart, and sometimes I don't know what he's doing, but I know he's working, and I know he's like trying to get my cooperation. He's trying to get my cooperation because he wants a new level of maturity. You know, the word maturity means more Christ-like. It means to be more Christ-like. And it means to be, maturity means to be more intelligent. Anybody like to be more intelligent? All three of us. Anybody like to be more intelligent? It means more perfect. More perfect and more Christ-like. And you know what? I love babies. I love babies. I have had three babies. I might adopt. I'm not sure yet. I'm still like... But I love babies. And but you know, we're not called to stay babies forever. It would be weird if we stayed babies forever. And I have a little video. Can you have a look at this, of these two babies that are having a little fight? I saw that, I'm like, that is perfect. Because girls, I want to say this to us. I want to say this to us. We will never be able to change a city, a nation, and a continent if we are busy fighting between ourselves. We will never be able to change a city, a nation, and a continent if we try and take out of what is in someone else's mouth to say. We will never be able to change a city, a nation, a continent if we cry over what each other has and what we don't have. And we will never be able to change a city, a nation, and a continent when we continue to complain and speak badly of each other. Listen, you must hear this. We're kidding ourselves if we think we're going to do that. That is why these moments are so crucial in changing a city, a nation, and a continent. Because we can't do it if we're fighting between ourselves. We must be each other's greatest cheerleaders. We must cheer each other's churches on. We must love each other's churches. We must cheer each other's churches on. We must cheer one another on. We must not be jealous or envious or trying to take out of somebody else's mouth what the Lord Jesus Christ has put in their mouth to say, because that is never going to change a continent. And girls, I believe that he's calling us to a new level of maturity. And so here is a little maturity test for us. Are you ready for this? You won't be able to write it down, but we'll put it on Facebook after conference. Just answer these questions in your own heart, because this is our maturity test today. Do you listen more than you talk? Do you realize how much you don't know? Are you more considerate of others than you are of yourself? Do you get offended easily? Are you good at taking responsibility, even if it's not your fault? Are you grateful and a gracious person, or are you more a complaining person? Are you able to forgive yourself and others easily? Are you calm and peaceful? Or desperate and frantic? I might be that one. Are you flexible and open? Or are you resisting and controlling? Are you happy to help yourself and not expect others to do it for you? If someone upsets you, do you talk to everybody else about it? Do you think before you speak? Do you allow others to help you with your blind spots? Can you easily honor and encourage others? Do you find joy in the success of somebody else? If you feel uncomfortable, this is a good one. If you feel uncomfortable, do you isolate yourself or do you push through? Can you laugh at yourself or do you take yourself too seriously? Do you consider others better than yourself? Do you recognize what does not work in your life and make every effort to change it? Do you sacrifice for others without resentment? Do you keep a close watch on your heart and constantly work on tweaking what comes up in it? Do you pass up instant gratification for long-term benefits? Can you stay calm in a storm? Do you have the courage to have difficult conversations in love with others when need to? Can you keep rising in the midst of a challenge and continue to give to others? Are you committed to gaining wisdom, learning, growing, and changing? They're just 26 questions of a maturity test. Because God, I believe that God is calling us to a greater level and a deeper level of maturity, a deeper level of Christ-likeness, a deeper level of intelligence, a deeper level of wisdom and insight. And that, I believe, will change a city, a nation, and a continent in Jesus' name. If the worship team would like to join me, my final point is this. We're going to choose, what's number one? We're going to choose closeness, and then we're going to choose, and then we're going to choose. And my fourth point is we're going to choose compassion. Everybody say compassion. Compassion. You know, in Colossians 3 and verse 12, it says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion. And I pray every morning that we would clothe ourselves with compassion. And we all know the story of Jesus and his very best friend, John the Baptist. Girls, John the Baptist got beheaded. His head got cut off. He got murdered. Jesus' best friend. And then it says this about Jesus. So Jesus, what did he do? Of course, he withdrew to an isolated place and just had to regroup and find solace and work things out. But then it says this, but the crowds followed him. The crowds followed him. And then it says this, and Jesus turned to the crowd and he was moved with compassion. And then it says that he healed all the sick that were there. And then it says there was a crowd of 5,000. And then later in the day, they became hungry. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, send them all away. It was like a room like this, 5,000 people. And Jesus and the disciples said, Jesus, send them away. We're never going to have enough food for everyone. But I believe Jesus wanted to show another side to himself. And he wanted to show his disciples something about his character. And he said, no, don't send them away. Just sit them down. And they said, who's gonna feed them? And we know the story, a little boy had his fish and his loaves. And you know, church, I think about that story often, and I think that the miracle happened here. And the 5,000 people were fed. And we preach the story now thousands of years later. But I think the miracle happened because the compassion happened. And the word compassion, it means this. Deep within, you physically feel empathy and pity and affection. Deep kindness that moves you to action and a violent passion. And I pray, girls, that this sisterhood movement would be marked with a violent passion of compassion. I pray that we would not be able to contain ourselves or help ourselves, but love would compel us wherever we go. And I heard this incredible quote last week, and it said this, the opposite of really living isn't really dying, but it's not really caring. And I pray that the Holy Spirit today would stir our hearts with a deep compassion that would carry us through the next 12 months till we gather again. And in Pastor Bobby's book, Pastor Bobby wrote a book, Stay the Path. And I read this book when I was coming home from colour in Sydney, and I am one of those little bit of a slow readers. And I read it in one sitting. I mean, I had nowhere to go. I was on an aeroplane. But I read it in one sitting. And I found myself crying and smiling, and I found myself feeling a tangible sense of the presence of the Lord Jesus as I read it. And there's a page in this book, and I want to conclude today by reading this to you, of what she writes in her Stay the Path book. It says this, for the sake of the world drowning in despair, we need to stir empathy. All empathy asks is that we lean in and we identify with the difficulty or suffering of another. Empathy is a choice. Christians can turn their backs or switch channels on a television if the issue becomes too confronting, or as in the Good Samaritan story of old, cross to the other side of the street, or they can allow the Spirit of God to lead them. When we choose to not quench the Spirit within, and when we allow empathy to lead us, compassion will enter the frame. And when compassion enters the frame, the miraculous has a shot. Because our hearts are compelled to a deeper response. All I'm suggesting is a heightened willingness to allow the Spirit to prompt and to lead. The progression is simple. Eyes wide open. Empathy, compassion, intercession alongside the Spirit, which unlocks the miraculous in Jesus' name. Could you stand to your feet, girls? I pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to put a deep passion of compassion on the inside of us. So this year, this next 12 months, until we gather again, until we gain strength, let's practice. Let's practice those four things. Let's commit to those four things. The number one, we are going to choose closeness. So give yourself a bit of space. Get your leg. Come on, everybody, in the balcony. Just shuffle your neighbor over. Give yourself a little bit of space. We're going to fix our eyes. We're going to fix our thoughts. We're going to turn our face and we're going to lift our leg. And as we do that, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're going to get stronger. Come on, lift that leg. Look at us, because we're choosing closeness. Number two, we're going to choose. So what are we going to do? We're going to plunge. Come on, everybody, plunge. Plunge into the promise. And we're going to come up. We're going to... Work it, girls, work it. And then we're going to get our weakness and we're going to throw it into His greatness. And then we're going to choose maturity. We're going to choose maturity. And then we're going to choose compassion. And I believe, girls, that the next 12 months are going to be our greatest and our best. And we're going to see the name of Jesus made famous across this land. If you believe it, shout. Amen and amen. Father, seal this word, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.